By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Ammabad, fa'audhu billahi min shaitan rajim, bismillahir rahman rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah, wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah. Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurallah. Viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to the early morning show, Rise and Shine. Pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we have a blessed day. Viewers of Madani Channel, when you watch Rise and Shine, you know that at the beginning of our program, we always give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak, and then we have the privilege to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Let's begin with giving you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, O people, indeed, the person who will gain salvation quickly from the torment of the Day of Judgment and the accountability is he who had sent Salat upon me in this world in abundance. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Viewers, Madhshara, from that we can gather, Alhamdulillah, that he who sends the Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that day when we will be drowning in our sweats, on that day where nobody will be there to help us except for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on that day when everybody will be suffering, where everybody will be running here and there, on that day, if we want to gain salvation quickly, then inshallah azza wa jalla, make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam whilst we still have time. Yes, time. Time is something that is ticking away and it's disappearing. So utilize this time. And one of the best ways of utilizing it is sending Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And who knows, that one extra Durood-e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. Viewers of Madani Channel, as you know, when you watch Rise and Shine, after the blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak, we have the privilege and honor to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. We're now going to go and listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitane mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban rahm wala.
Yas'alunaka madha uhilla lahum قُلْ أُحِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتُ وَمَا عَلَّمْتُمْ مِنَ الْجَوَارِحِ مُكَلِّبِينَ تُعَلِّمُونَهُنَّ مِمَّا عَلَّمَكُمُ اللَّهُ فَكُلُوا مِمَّا أَمْسَكْنَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَاذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ
اے محبوب, تم سے پوچھتے ہیں کہ ان کے لیے کیا حلال ہوا, تم فرما دو کہ حلال کی گئیں تمہارے لیے پاک چیزیں, اور جو شکاری جانور تم نے سدھا یعنی سکھا لیے انہیں شکار پر دوڑاتے, جو علم تمہیں خدا نے دیا اس میں سے انہیں سکھاتے, تو کھاؤ اس میں سے جو وہ مار کر تمہارے لیے رہنے دیں, اور اس پر اللہ کا نام لو اور اللہ سے ڈرتے رہو.
ان اللہ سریع الحساب,
بے شک اللہ کو حساب کرتے دیر نہیں لگتی.
الیوم احل لکم الطیبات,
آج تمہارے لیے پاک چیزیں حلال ہوئیں.
وطعام الذین اوتوا الکتاب حل لکم وطعامکم حل لہم,
اور کتابیوں کا کھانا تمہارے لیے حلال ہے اور تمہارا کھانا ان کے لیے حلال ہے.
والمحصنات من المؤمنات والمحصنات من الذين اوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم اذا آتيتموهن اجورهن محصنين غير مسافحين ولا متخذي أخدان.
اور پارسا یعنی پاک دامن عورتیں مسلمان, اور پارسا عورتیں ان میں سے جن کو تم سے پہلے کتاب ملی, جب تم انہیں ان کے مہر دو قید میں لاتے ہوئے نہ مستی نکالتے اور نہ آشنا بناتے,
صدق الله العظيم.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Viewers of the channel, obviously we had the privilege there to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Some of the verses of the Quran are very thought-provoking. There are some verses which are very informative, but there are also others that are very thought-provoking that make us reflect and think about our existence, about the Creator, about our purpose in life. And I think if we make a habit of reading these Qurans, reading the Quran, understanding the Quran with translation and commentary, then inshallah, azawajal, it'll make a change in our lives as well. So please make a habit of reading the Quran on a daily basis. And there are many benefits, obviously those that I've just mentioned, but it also gives you that spiritual uplift to face the problems that you are going to face during the day, inshallah, azawajal. Viewers of the channel, we're going to talk about the reality of ill omens, bad omens. And what has Al-Hazrat said with regards to this ill omens? And how also, inshallah, azawajal, we should try and spend this particular month on what we can learn from this. So this is what we're going to talk about today, time permitting, inshallah, azawajal. And we're hoping that later on in the program, we have a guest, inshallah, azawajal. But in the meantime, viewers of the channel, as you know, that when we listen to some verses of the Holy Quran, after that, we get the privilege as well to listen to the Kalam of the day, again, to give us that extra spiritual uplift so that we can face the day. Let's go to the Kalam of the day. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Uda jaane ki taiba ko humara kab safar hoga. Uda jaane ki taiba ko humara kab safar hoga. Allah Uda jaane ki taiba
حضور جگہ
میری چمکا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ viewers of my channel, I hope and I pray that you enjoyed that kalam as much as we did here in the studio. Mashallah, again another brilliant way to start the day. And again, when people are traveling to work, let's say, and you know it's a time where really you are not doing a lot, you know, you're driving, yes, I know it takes a lot of concentration, I know it takes a lot of attention, but at the same time, if you know, you have the talawat in the background, or you've got a kalam in the background, it's something that you can listen to, something that if you can recite the kalam along with the recital of the kalam, then inshallah, azza wa jalla, you can, you know, get the benefits of it as well. And certain words will stick into you and they'll continue with you throughout the day. And the people that say that if you hear certain sounds, if you hear certain sounds at certain times during the day, then them sounds will continue throughout the whole of the day. So if you hear the kalam or you're hearing the zikr at the beginning of the day, then all day long, subconsciously, you will be doing zikr effectively. Your tongue will be doing zikr even though you're doing other things, because your car, effectively, you started your car with that kind of fuel. You started the day with the fuel of zikr. You started the fuel with the fuel of kalam, the fuel of the Quran, inshallah, azawajal. And again, you'll run throughout the whole of the day. Views on the channel, what we're going to talk about today, we're talking about ill omens, bad omens. And we're going to talk again about what Allah Hazrat has told us about these bad omens. And you'll understand the significance a little bit later. It is narrated, viewers of the channel, that a person, he said that I became so helpless at one point that I had to eat soil to relieve my hunger. But still, obviously, my hunger continued to torment me. I thought if only I could come across such a person who would feed me a meal. And he said, therefore, I left in search of such a person. And I went towards the city of Avaz in Iran. Even though he said that I knew nobody there. He said, when I reached the edge of the riverbank, there was no boat present. And when I saw that there was no boat present, I thought that this was a bad omen. Yeah? There's something that's telling me that I shouldn't make this journey because there's no boat present. And then what happened was a boat did come along, but this boat had a hole in it. So I thought to myself, you know what? This is another ill omen. This is another bad omen. He said, but I decided to get on the boat. Before I got on the boat, I asked the person that owned the boat, what is your name? And he said that my name is Dawzaida, which refers to shaitan in Arabic. And he said, because he gave him that name, I thought, you know what, this is another bad omen. He said, but still, I continued to make the journey. He says, when I got to the other side of the river, I called out for a porter that, please, can you take my luggage? And at that time, I had an old quilt and some necessary belongings. The porter who responded to my call that I needed to help in carrying these things, he was blind in one eye. Again, I thought to myself, this is my fourth piece of bad luck. You know, this is something that's not right. And it came to my mind that it would be better for me to return back, because all of these signs of bad luck I've had, of all these bad omens I've had, maybe I should go back. Maybe I should go back. But then, because of my necessity, my hunger that I had, I left my intention to return. And after reaching the hostel, I was thinking about what to do when someone knocked on the door. I knocked on the door and asked, who is it? And he replied, I have come to meet you. I said, do you know who I am? And he replied, yes. I thought to myself, either this is an enemy or this is a representative of the king. After thinking about it for a moment, I opened the door. And the person said that such and such person has sent me to you and given this message that even though there is some conflict between you and me, but the fulfillment of your rights is essential. I have heard about your condition, and that is why it's necessary upon me to meet your ends. If you stay here at mine for up to 2 months, then your needs will be met. But if you want to leave from here, then here are 30 dinars. Spend them on your necessities and you may go. I understand your situation. The person states, I have never owned 30 dinars in my life until that point. And I also realized that the matter that there's no reality to ill omens. Allahu Akbar. So all along, we see that these bad omens, these people will say bad signs that, oh, this is happening, that's happening. Because of that, I can't proceed because this is what is stopping and I shouldn't carry on doing this. So they're seeing bad signs. Hakim al-Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala states, it is permissible in Islam to take a good omen, but to take an ill omen is haram. And we see viewers on the channel that nowadays what happens is certain things happen and we hold back, no, I can't do that because of this. Can't do this because of that. You know, we see a black cat, we see a broken mirror, we see a ladder, we see all sorts of things. No, that's a sign. That's a sign for me telling me not to do this. But in Islam, we are told, as Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala states, it is permissible in Islam to take a good omen, but to take an ill omen is haram. So if you see something and you think, you know what, that's a sign telling me that, yes, I should do this. Yes, I should go on a Madani Kafla. Yes, I should spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Yes, I should go on Hajj this year. Yes, I should build this madrasa, this masjid. I should build this well for the poor. I should do this. Yes, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing that you're doing. Then I said, and you see it as a good omen, then in Islam, it's permissible to take these good omens. But to see bad omens, you know, some people look at the tea and think, oh, what? It's only half full. That's a bad omen. Yeah. Oh, the cup's that way, it's a bad omen. The cup's this way, it's a bad omen. These bad omens, you should not, you know, fear that these bad omens, even if they're not bad omens, that they are going to affect you. And we come to know, viewers on the channel, from this parable, that there's no reality to ill omens at all. Throughout this journey, this person fell victim to ill omens in his mind, and he thought that it's better to end this journey and return back. As in his mind, after going through so much bad luck, i.e. the ill omens, he did not see impossible for his needs to be met. But as the journey was necessary for him, he did it. And when he reached there, he received such an amount of money, which he had never seen before or expected. And having his need fulfilled in this way, he made a mindset and realized that there's no reality in ill omens. And this parable, viewers of Mother Channel, completely eradicates the delusion of those who only on the basis of the delusion, either baseless thoughts, have ill-fated thoughts about any human, animal, day, or month. Yet there is no reality to this in Sharia. Yet people see an animal, oh, no. A certain day of the week, no. A certain month, no. A certain time, no. This again is wrong, viewers of Mother Channel. There is nothing in Sharia. And if there is, please let me know. Because as the knowledge that we have been given so far is that in this state, there is no reality in ill omens. Yes, if there's a good omen, then follow it. But if there's a bad omen, then again, continue with your task. The fundamental difference between having a bad and a good omen is this, viewers of the channel. Taking a bad omen is forbidden by Sharia. And it is mustahab to take a good omen. Taking a good omen is the way of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whereas taking a bad omen is the way of the non-Muslims. Goodness is hoped for through the mercy and grace of Allah azza wa jal for taking a good omen, whereas hopelessness is created by taking a bad omen. Taking a good omen brings tranquility in the heart and happiness, which is required for attempting and completing any work, whereas taking a bad omen unnecessarily produces grief and suspicion. Taking a good omen takes a person towards success, movement and progression, whereas taking a bad omen produces despair and laziness, which takes one towards shame and humiliation. So this, you know, when you see a bad omen, it can stop you from doing things. It can create this ill feeling inside yourself. It can create this depression inside yourself. It can create this, you know, lack of energy because you think, you know what, I can't succeed. I won't be able to succeed. Because if this has happened and that's happened and these are all ill omens, these are signs that I should not make this journey. These are signs that I should not be doing this. And this feeling that it creates inside you, even when you do continue, make an intention, you know what, I'm not going to listen to these bad omens. I'm going to carry on. But even then, because you look at them bad omens and you see them as bad omens, then what happens is it creates this feeling inside yourself where you have a lack of energy, you have a lack of sustenance, and you cannot progress in the same way that you progressed before. So always look for the good. And ignore the bad. Yes, it's just happening. It's something that's happening. You know, an animal crossed your path. So what? The animal was going from here to there. What's wrong if it crosses this path? I don't own the road, do I? It can do whatever it wants. Yeah. Certain things break in the house. Oh, the cup's broke. It's bad luck. It's broke. It was destined to break today. That's his life. You know, that's how long this cup's going to last. That's the end of it. And that's it. And so just Think of it that it's happened and just move on and be positive in your mindset. And it's stated, viewers of the channel, that the person who suffers from the calamity of delusion, he begins to perceive everything as unfortunate. He starts looking at everything and think, oh, you know what? It's raining today. It might rain every single day of the week. Yeah, here in the UK, it rains quite a lot. It gets dark quite a lot. And you think, oh, dark clouds today. Oh, it's raining today. Oh, and then some people, oh, bulb's gone in the house. Oh, the bulb's gone in the house. And it's gone in that room where I was going to go and do some work. That's a sign for me not to do some work. You get up in the morning and the car won't start. Oh, that's a sign. I can't go to work today. I can't do this today. These are ill omens that you should ignore. Yeah. You know, it's just a bit cold. Your car needs an extra few minutes to warm up before it starts properly. Yeah. Just give it a few chances. Yeah. Give it a few minutes. Yeah. The bulb's gone. Well, so what if the bulb's gone? The bulb's going to go. It's going to go sooner or later, isn't it? Yeah. I've got in the kitchen of our house, we've got a bulb that started to flicker. Yeah. Now, if I was to look at Ilma, no, the bulb's flickering. Oi, 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 oi. You know, we shouldn't be cooking any food anymore because the bulb's flickering. These are things that we shouldn't become party to. And this can affect us. And the delusion of thinking of something as ill-fated is that sword of shaitan that can become a means of quarrel and fighting between Muslims, leading to the elimination of peace and tranquility. And comprehend this matter as the best you can. There is no concept in Islam of perceiving any person, place, thing, or time as ill-fated. There is no such thing. There is no such thing as any person, any place, any thing, or time as ill-fated. You know, you see someone and he has some sort of physical problem and you think, you know, that's a sign. No, it's not. No, it's not. You go to a place and on the way to that place, you see a sign, yeah? And the sign kind of like gives you kind of a hidden message. You think that it's got a hidden message in the signboard and it's telling you not to go there, yeah? You know, I don't know, it might, a city name might be called Don't Know Here, Don't Go Here Borough, whatever, something, and they might have in the middle of it, Don't Go Here, and you think, you know what, that's a sign for me not to go here, yeah? Or you'd be, and these are all things that, because of these ill omens, we stop our journey. And these are the tricks of shaitan. But as I mentioned earlier on, but it can also cause problems, viewers of my channel. It can also cause lack of tranquility, lack of peace. It can cause problems between family members. Whereas you think, you know what? It's because of that. You know, there it is. The proof's there. I saw a cat cross my path and that proves that my brother did something to me. How does it prove that your brother did anything to you? How does it prove, yeah, that your brother did something to you? And you see a piece of paper on the ground, a burnt piece of paper on the ground near your house, and you think, you know what? That person, he's put a taweez there, yeah, to cause problems for you. How do you know that? One, how do you know it's the taweez? And how do you know he's done it? So don't overthink things, yeah, as they say. Don't overthink things because this can lead to the loss of tranquility, leads to the loss of peace. And it, as we're told, it can cause quarrels and arguments amongst family members and cause, within the community as a whole, it can cause problems. Ala Hazrat, Imam Ali Sunnat, Mawlana Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan. This is the question that he was asked. It is known about a certain person, if his ill-fated appearance is seen in the morning or if he's seen on the way to work, then one definitely has to endure some sort of difficulty. And no matter how confident one is in completing a certain work, it is perceived that there will be some sort of hindrance. Hence, those people continue to experience what they are thinking. They keep in mind that if they come across this person on the way, then they will return home. And after some time, they find out whether this ill-fated person is still around before leaving for the work again. The question is the belief of such a people and the course of conduct right? Is there any evil here as per Sharia? This is the question that he was asked. So some people, they see a certain thing, a certain person, a certain situation. And for the whole of the day, it appears that they have bad luck. For the whole of the day, it appears as if something's not going wrong. And they attribute it to seeing that person in the morning. They think to themselves, it's because I saw that person in the morning, that's why everything's happening like this. And so when it's time to leave work, they want to make sure that they're not going to see that person. They want to make sure that that person is not on the path because they don't want to have this path. Is there anything in this? Ala Hazrat replied, there is no basis for this in the pure Sharia. The delusion of the people is prevalent here. There is a ruling in Sharia, meaning when an ill omen comes to mind, do not act upon it. Muslims should read the following there's a dua that they should read. Oh Allah Azza wa Jalla, there is no misfortune, but it is from you and there is no good, but it is from you and there is none worthy of your worships beside you. And go about their work by having reliance on Allah Azza wa Jalla. Do not stop or return by any means. Do not stop or return by any means. So have reliance on Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's the person, that's the one that we should be relying on. We should not be relying on that ill omen and think, oh, because of that, we're going to have a bad day. Because of this, we're going to have to rely on Allah Azza wa Jalla. Put your trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla. And again, I think that is where a lot of us viewers on this channel are failing. We look at all sorts of things. Even you see people, viewers on this channel, that read these horoscopes. You know, what are horoscopes? Horoscopes, I'm not even sure the history of this, viewers on this channel. And please, you can possibly look at it. The people believe that we all have a star sign. And because of this star sign, depending on what time of the year you are born, you have a star sign. And depending on where your star is, it can depend on your day. And the newspaper columns are filled, magazines are filled, internet pages are filled on star signs, yeah, these horoscopes. And on this horoscope, it will say, oh, because you were born during this day. Today, you will meet someone that you've not met for a long time. And today, you may have a disagreement with someone. Today, this might happen to you. Today, that might happen to you. And all day, you're looking for that person that you've not met for a long time. All day, you're looking for that disagreement. And you're looking for that. Why? Because a newspaper article did it. Who wrote that newspaper article? Who wrote it? It was just somebody thinking, you know what, I've got to come up with some random thoughts for today, make everyone think about it, sell newspaper pages, and so I put it in there and people read it. And again, these are almost these horoscopes. They've got nothing in Islam, viewers on the channel. They have no basis in Islam. So if you look at horoscopes and think to yourself, oh yeah, because of this, this is going to happen to me. Oh, because of that, that's going to happen to me. It's not true, viewers on the channel. Put your trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla. Yes, I'm not saying to you that walk over the edge of a cliff, yeah, and put your trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla. No. Use your logic, lose your sense, use all of these things. But, you know, don't look at ill omens. Yes, if there's a danger. I'm not saying to you, oh, if there's a danger sign, they think, oh, no, that's a bad sign. No, it's not a bad sign. It's a fact. There's a difference between an ill omen and a fact. You know, now in these buildings, like the building that we're in, there's a fuse board. There's an electric circuit board. And on that electric circuit board, outside that, there'll be a sign. And it'll be a red sign, and it'll say, danger, yeah, danger. 415 volts. You know, I'm not going to take that as an ill omen. That's a fact. That's a fact that inside there is this high voltage. Inside that, it is dangerous. So that is the difference between an ill omen and a fact. Okay? And so we need to differentiate from that. We need to differentiate between an ill omen and a fact. Facts are there. For example, you're driving your car and it may say to you that the road ahead is dangerous. The road ahead is slippery. The road ahead rocks can be falling. And you need to take care. But you can't just go along the road and you see an animal at the side of the road and think, oh, that means that this road is slippery. Oh, that means that this road is rocks. No. And this again is where we see these omens, viewers of the child, these things that are happening, they have no basis in Islam. Trust in Allah. Use your intellect and trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla. Viewers of the channel, we're going to take a small break now. And inshallah, when we come back, we're going to continue to talk a little bit about the ill omens before we go on to the rest of the topic. We're going to go to the reminder of the day, inshallah, azawajal, and see what we're going to learn today. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Fortune telling is something which is very common in this day and age. Many people, they are worried about, concerned about their future, or they want to know more about what the future holds for them, so that they can make decisions that are more profitable or decisions that may save them from an imminent danger. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she reports a hadith. I will mention the Arabic first. An Aisha taqalat sa'ala unasun rasulallahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anil kuhani. Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she reports that some people, they ask the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about diviners, about fortune tellers. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about them, فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ سَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ إِنَّهُمْ لَيْسُ بِشَيْءٍ. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about them that they are nothing, meaning that what they stand for, what they tell others, it's not reality. The hadith continues, قَالُوا, they said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, صلى الله عليه وسلم. فإنهم يحدثون أحيانا بشيء يكون حقا. Sometimes the diviners, the fortune tellers, they say something which turns out to be true. So these are the people who are conversing with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're expressing the fact that sometimes they say something, it actually turns out to be true. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ تِلْكَ الْكَلِمَةُ مِنَ الْحَقِّ يَخْتَفُهَا الْجِنِّيُّ فَيَقُرُّهَا فِي أُذُنِ وَلِيِّهِ قَرَّ الدَّجَاجَ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is that the truth that they mention, that they do mention sometimes, this is a true statement. But where does it come from? The evil, the jinn, hears it from an angel and then takes this news to his friend, meaning the fortune teller. So the jinn whispers this statement of truth in the ear of its friend, meaning the fortune teller, because the fortune teller is the one who has this connection with the evil jinn or the shaitan. And the example that is given in the hadith is just as a hen makes noise near, the word in the hadith is ear, near the ear of the other hen, meaning just like one hen goes near another hen and makes noise and it's able to hear it, in the same way, this jinn, he comes to the fortune teller and whispers it in the fortune teller's ear. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to explain what happens after that. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَيَخْلِطُونَ فِيهَا أَكْثَرَ مِنْ مِئَةِ كَذِبًا, that the jinn, once the jinn has said, I've given the news to his friend, the fortune teller, the fortune teller adds and mixes so many different things and exaggerates that statement. So in the end, what the fortune teller tells the person who comes to him for news about the future is an exaggerated version of the event or the events that he came to know. So what is actually the truth within the statements of the fortune teller is very little and it has been exaggerated. So this is why, if there is any connection to the truth, or if someone later discovers that there was some truth in what we heard about from a fortune teller, or something that was attributed to the news given by a fortune teller, one should only realize and understand that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that although there may be some truth or little truth in what they say, most of what they say is exaggerated and it consists of lies. So we seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from fortune tellers and the evil that they may spread through the lies they convey to other people. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, that was Qamar Madani. And he was talking about fortune tellers, which again is very similar to the horoscope that I mentioned early on. And you can understand from there that there is nothing in Shariat in that. Yes, if by any chance they do speak the truth, if by any chance they do guess the truth, then again, it is no basis in Sharia that this or these are the people that we need to listen to all the time. Just because a person got it right once doesn't mean to say he'll get it right every time. Yeah, it's just guesswork and all sorts. So please stay away from fortune tellers, stay away from horoscopes. You see these people that'll read your palm reading. Yeah, I've heard about palm reading as well. I've heard people say that, oh, if you make a cup of tea, you know, nowadays we have tea bags, make it a cup of tea without the tea bag, drink the tea, then they'll look at the tea leaves and, oh, this means this. Again, there is no basis in this. The ball that people look at, people have these crystal balls that people look at and they can tell your future by looking at a crystal ball. No basis in Islam. Don't be fooled. Don't be disillusioned by these sort of people. There is no basis whatsoever. Yes, if you want to take advice of someone whether or not you should do a certain task, then go to the scholars, go to these people, ask their advice, and inshallah, they will give you the advice in the light of the Quran and Sharia. These are the people that we should be looking at. We shouldn't be looking at crystal balls and tea leaves in a cup and the lines on our hands and say, oh, because that line is like this and that line is like this, that line is like this. Whatever is in our destiny, it will happen and nobody can change it by looking into a crystal ball. With regards to this view, Zamil Chal, continuing about this ill omens and bad omens, when Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, intended to travel for a battle, an astrologer came to him and he became a hindrance and he said to him, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, do not leave, do not go on this battle." Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala asked the reason to this, which he replied that the moon at this time is on Scorpio, the eighth constellation. If you leave at this time, you'll be defeated. After hearing this, Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala responded that the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam and the noble Abu Bakr Siddiq and Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhuma did not have any belief in astrologers. After placing my reliance in Allah Azza wa Jal, I surely will travel to prove your statement is a lie. Then he departed for the journey. And after the apparent life of the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Azza wa Jal bestowed Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu with the most blessings in that journey, to the extent that all the enemies were defeated and he returned happy and victorious. So this is the mindset that we should have. That if you see an ill omen, and even if people try and stop me, say, "Oh, this is an ill omen," go positive and say, "No, I'm going to make this journey and I'm going to prove to you," he said, "I surely will travel to prove that your statement is a lie." And he was blessed because he had this mindset that, no, we do not believe in this. And because he had this mindset and he was positive in his heart, positive in his mind, then when he made this journey, Allah Azza wa Jal bestowed upon him success upon success upon success. And he came back happy and victorious. It is also stated, viewers on my channel, that the servant of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala, Sayyidina Muzahim, states that when we departed from Madinatul Munawwara, I saw that the moon was by the star Aldabaran. I did not find it appropriate to mention this to him, but instead I said, "Take a look at the moon, how beautiful it looks." He looked at the moon and was by, and he saw that the moon was where it was, and he says, "Perhaps you want to show to me that the moon is by Aldabaran." And Muazzim said, "We depart by the order and decision of Allah Azza wa Jal, rather than that by the moon and the sun." We follow the decision of Allah Azza wa Jal, not the where the moon is, not where the stars are, not where the sun is. No, we put our reliance in Allah Azza wa Jal. And he said, "Remember that this space is one of the stations of the moon. At this time, the moon is between Pleiades and Gemini. In Arabia, the astrologers had a delusion that this time was ill-fated. The indication of Sayyidina Muzahim was towards this. Thus, Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu rahmatullahi ta'ala refuted his delusion and taking off an ill omen by teaching him a lesson of placing his reliance in Allah Azza wa Jal. And you see that the people of the past, they put their reliance in Allah Azza wa Jal. They didn't put their reliance in star signs. They didn't put their reliance in looking at the moon, looking at the stars, looking at the constellation, phoning up an astrologer and say, "Look, I'm thinking of making this journey today. What do you think?" No. Reliance in Allah Azza wa Jal. Put your trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. And fortunate are those people who trust, who put their trust. Otherwise, you're constantly looking over your backs. You're constantly looking over your backs and thinking, "This is going to happen, that's going to happen, this is going to happen." And yes, things do happen. Things do go wrong. I'm not going to say to you, "Oh, put your trust in Allah Azza wa Jal and nothing will go wrong." But what I am saying to you is if anything goes wrong, then again, you should not have this mindset. "You know what? I knew I was right. I knew I shouldn't have made this journey because I saw that person this morning. This has happened because I didn't listen to that ill omen. This has happened because I saw that cat go past the street and I thought to myself at the time, you know what? This cat is an ill omen for me. This this black cat is a superstition for me. I should not make this journey, but I didn't listen to it and I've gone on this journey and now look what's happened." If you have a problem on your journey, if anything goes wrong in whatever decision you make, then do not associate that with that ill omen. Associate with the fact that this is the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is better for me than what could have happened to me. Always have this positive mindset that if whatever you say, they're saying in Urdu, "Isimi ko betriye." Whatever happens is, in this is, it is better for me. It is better for me that this happened. It is better for me that this happened. And if you have this positive mindset, no matter what problem you face, you have a flat tire, you have an accident, you have a problem, whatever happens to you, always have this mindset that this is better for me. Why? Because it is the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to, if He will, then it could have been a lot worse than this. So have this positive mindset that whatever happens is better for me. And put your reliance in Allah Azza wa Jal. that whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to trust in the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Whatever happens, it is better for me. Have this mindset. And we come to know, viewers of Madinah channel, that those who have faith in Allah Azza wa Jalla do not believe in astrologers. We also come to know that they do not accept the effect of the moon and the stars. They do not accept ill omens. They do not acknowledge ill omens as a reality. They rectify those who accept the effect of the moons and the stars. And they have complete reliance. They have complete reliance in the divine being of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Thus, viewers of Mother Channel, we should also follow the footsteps of these pious people and learn to have reliance solely, purely, in the divine being of Allah Azza wa Jalla, instead of relying on delusions, ill omens, astrologers, horoscopes, and the effect of the moon and the stars. They have no relevance in the deen of Islam, no matter how much someone tries to convince you, no matter how much someone says to say to you, well, I did this and then this happened, I did this and then this happened, I did this and this happened. Maybe it did. Maybe it did happen. But whatever happened, yeah, it was not because of that thing that he thought was because of that. You know, this didn't happen to me because of that bad omen. This didn't happen to me because of that bad omen. This didn't happen to me because of this bad omen. Maybe it didn't happen, but it didn't happen because of that ill omen. It happened because of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that's the mindset that we need to have, viewers on the channel. And there are blessings, viewers on the channel. If only we can develop this mindset, this thought pattern, to have reliance in Allah Azza wa Jalla. And we face so many problems, don't we, on a day-to-day basis. And that's why at the beginning of the program, I mention it quite often that, you know, we need to listen to the Quran on a daily basis so that we can, you know, face the difficulties of the day. And life is about difficulties. Life is they say that life is a roller coaster, and a roller coaster is these rides that go up and down, up and down, up and down. That's what our life is like. We have positives, we have negatives, we have success, we have problems, we have all sorts of things. You know, nobody has a carefree life. Everybody is tested according to their ability. Some are tested less, some are tested more. But Allah Azza wa Jalla, again, does not test you more than what you can carry. Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't put a burden on you more than you can carry. So you need to have this mindset that whatever comes my way, whatever comes my way, whatever problem comes my way, Ya Allah, you have sent the problem. Ya Allah, you can also send the solution. And Ya Allah, the solution will come. And the solution does come. You know, time passes. This time passes. Whatever situation we are in today, this time passes. And there was someone once, he said to his courtier, his advisor, a king, he said, write me something that when I'm really, really happy, I look at it and it makes me reflect and think. And it makes me calm down again, you know, come back down to level. And when I'm really, really sad, I look at it, it perks me up and it makes me realize that everything will be okay. And this advisor wrote, this time will pass. This time will pass. So you may be in extreme happiness now, but this time will pass. You may, and the law of the laws right now, you may be having all sorts of problems right now. You may be having financial problems. You may be having personal problems. You may be having all sorts of economic problems as we are facing nowadays. This time will pass. We're talking now, but you know what won't pass? And I know it's slightly against the topic. What won't pass is what you did in that time. When that time passed, what did you do with that time? When you were at your all-time low, when you were upset, what did you do? Did you still remember Allah Azza wa Jalla? Did you still do the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Did you still read your namaz? When you were overly happy, you were successful, everything was going fantastic, did you still remember Allah Azza wa Jalla? And in both these extremes, viewers of the channel, you get those people that when they're very happy and very successful, all of a sudden they forget the namaz. And then you also get those people that when they're at the all-time lows, astaghfirullah, then they start saying, what is the point in reading namaz? Astaghfirullah. And these are the two extremes. Yes, you also get those people, alhamdulillah, that when they are happy, when they are successful, they remember Allah Azza wa Jalla and they're thankful to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And you get those people that when they're at the all-time lows, they pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla because they know Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one that's going to unlock the situation that they're in. And they have this reliance in Allah Azza wa Jalla. And whatever situation they are in, high or low, they remember Allah Azza wa Jalla, they praise Allah Azza wa Jalla, they have the reliance in Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this is the mindset that we have, that we need to have. And if we can develop this mindset, viewers of the channel, that having a reliance in Allah Azza wa Jalla, we'll have peace in our hearts. We're just going to take the daily hadith, the hadith of the day, inshallah azawajal. And when we're going to come back, inshallah azawajal, we're going to continue with the topic of the day. Let's go to the daily hadith. Sallu alil Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu has reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, Salasun man kunna fihi wajata halawat al-iman. That whosoever possesses three qualities, three such attributes, will attain the sweetness of iman. He will attain the sweetness of faith. What are those three qualities, dear viewers of Rise and Shine? Firstly, أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما. That Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam become the most beloved to this individual over everything else. That he loves Allah and His Messenger the most in regards to anything else. For this, one needs to dedicate and invest his time in learning about the beautiful religion of Islam, safeguarding himself from those things which could possibly earn the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, the more we study about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his character, his life, his dealings, then the more love we shall cherish in regards to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts. The second thing, that the person, he loves another person only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that within our hearts, we should keep our hearts clean, and within our hearts, we should not have any hatred or any malice towards anyone else. And the third quality mentioned, that he hates leaving the fold of Islam, he hates reverting towards back to disbelief, as he hates to be thrown into the fire of hell. This is how much he hates to leave the folds of Islam. This implies on how strongly rooted one ought to be upon his Islamic beliefs and values. Subhanallah, what a beautiful hadith. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to ponder over this hadith and implement these three great qualities within our lives so that we too can attain the sweetness of Iman. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching the morning show Rise and Shine. And today we're talking about ill omens, bad omens, and how they can make a make and affect our life. And we've been told so far that if we see an ill omen, then we should not follow it. Yes, if you see a good omen in the Sharia, you're allowed to follow good omens, but ill omens, there is nothing in following it in Sharia. And all of these things, astrologers, horoscopes, people that read your palm of your hands, do all of these sort of things, whatever they do, there is no basis in Islam. Even if on the rare occasion or the one-off occasion that they do speak the truth, and later on you think, you know what, he was right. Again, you can say it's a fluke, you can say it's a guesswork, you can say it's the whispers of shaitan, whatever you want to say. But don't think that just because they got it right once, that is the thing that you need to follow. Put your reliance in Allah Azza wa Jal. And as I said earlier on, if you want to take advice on whether you should do something or not do something, then go to the scholars, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, and take advice from them in light of Quran and Sharia, without doubt. But having a reliance in Allah Azza wa Jal is a state of mind. And if you develop that state of mind, then inshallah, Azza wa Jal, you'll be successful. And I just want to share a little story with you, personal story that I had. Many, many years ago, I was working in an office as an engineer there, electrical engineer, software engineer. And on the side, I was also buying and selling cars. And there was a car I had, and I cleaned it all up, made it all right, did all the paint, did all the interior, made it all perfect. The car was perfect. And I put it in the yard and put a sheet over it. And my father kept on saying to me, "That why are you not selling this car? Sell the car." Because it was one that I'd bought to sell. I had another car. Why are you not selling this car? Why are you not selling this car? And one day my spouse came to me, the mother of my children. She says, why are you not selling the car? Tell me. Tell me what is the reason behind you not selling the car? There must be a reason. And I said, look, you know, where I'm working at the moment, that I'm making people redundant. They're making people redundant and people are going to go out of their work. And I'm scared that if they make me redundant, how am I going to manage? She said, okay, so why have you kept the car? And I said, well, you know that car could be an excellent taxi. Okay? And if Allah forbid I do lose my job, then I'll start taxing. And I remember the words that she said to me, and after that, other people said it to me as well. Put your trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. Rely on Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah is the one who will send you sustenance. Yeah? And I sold the car. I sold the car and alhamdulillah, from then till now, yes, we have ups and downs in our life. Yes, we have difficulties in our life. Yes, we face problems in our life. Who doesn't? But put your trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah Azza wa Jal provided me more than I can never be thankful enough for what Allah Azza wa Jal provided me. I'm so fortunate that Allah Azza wa Jal has provided me so much. But again, we need to develop this. I'm not saying that I am a wali of Allah, that I have perfect reliance in Allah Azza wa Jal, but I need to develop this mindset. I need to improve myself. I need to constantly improve myself in the same way that you need to as well. I'm not saying to you, sit in one corner and don't earn money. Yeah, put your reliance in Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah is going to send you food, going to send you sustenance. No, but have some trust. Have that trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah Azza wa Jal will provide you with opportunities. Allah Azza wa Jal will provide you with an opportunity where you need to, you know, a job opportunity will come, an opportunity to earn money will come, an opportunity to come with this, and all these opportunities will come to you. But sometimes what happens is, these viewers on the channel, because of our mindset, these opportunities are coming to us, but we don't take them. And the person, viewers on the channel, who has a reliance in Allah Azza wa Jal, he always remains happy. In his heart, he's always happy because he has this mindset that whatever is happening, it is the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yeah? Whatever problem he's facing, it is the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's better for me that this has happened to me. It could have been a lot worse. And he remains happy in his heart. He lives a life of peace and tranquility. His works continue to flourish. His feet never slip. He learns how to be patient even in the most difficult situation. Because when a difficult situation comes, he is patient. Why? Because he's put his trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Azza wa Jalla becomes pleased with him that he has his trust in him. Success comes to the feet of the one who has reliance in Allah Azza wa Jal. He continues to ascend the levels of prosperity. No might of the world can harm that person. A person that has complete trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, nothing can harm that person. He remains successful in escaping the treachery of shaitan. And he is successful in gathering numerous virtues by putting his reliance in Allah Azza wa Jal. He remains safe from kneeling to any worldly people. And he never indulges in evils like having ill omens. And he receives provisions from the unseen. Provisions from the unseen will come to you. Provisions will come from you, the unseen, that you cannot even think of where these provisions are coming from, if you put your reliance in Allah Azza wa Jalla. It is stated, viewers of the channel, that a worshipper would remain busy in worshipping all night in Masjid al-Haram. And he would fast in the day. And every day, a person would come to him and give him two pieces of bread, and which he would do iftar with them. And then he'd begin his worship until the next day. One day a thought came to his mind, that what sort of reliance is this? I'm relying on the bread given by a person and not relying on Allah Azza wa Jal, the provider of provisions for his creation. This mindset came to him that, look, this person is bringing the bread. Why am I relying on him to bring me the bread every day? Why am I not relying on Allah Azza wa Jal, who is the creator, who is the person who brings all provisions? When the person who would give him the bread in the evening arrived in the evening, the worshipper returned it to him. He gave it back to him. And 3 days passed in the state of hunger. When he was overcome by hunger, he beseeched his Lord. He beseeched Allah Azza wa Jal. And at night, he saw in a dream that he was present in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah Azza wa Jal said to him, why did you return that I used to provide through my bondsman? That Allah Azza wa Jal is providing through his bondsman. The worshipper replied, oh Lord, it came to my mind that I am relying upon the same person instead of you. Allah Azza wa Jalla, who said, who would send you those breads? The worshipper said, oh Allah, you are the one who would send them. And it was ordered, now when I send them, do not return them. And during that dream, he saw the person who used to bring him the bread present in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah Azza wa Jalla asked him, why did you stop giving the bread to the worshipper? And he replied, oh Lord, you are very much aware of it. He was then asked, oh bondsman, why did you provide that bread for? The person replied, for you, meaning that I would give you in your way. It was said, continue your deed. Paradise is for you, in return of you is for me. Allahu Akbar. So, you know, sometimes what happens is the sustenance that we get, the provisions that we get, yeah, do not come to us. You know, there's not going to be, you know, that all of a sudden the bread's going to appear from nowhere. You know, we hear about those people, the pious people of the past, that the food was descended from the heavens. That's not going to happen to us. It'll be a means, a wasila, of where this food will come to us, where these provisions will come to us. All of these couple things will come to us as a means. And think to yourself, whenever this comes to you, that this person has not sent to you. Yes, this person has helped you. Yes, you need to thank that person. But this again, Allah Azza wa Jal has given the ability, given him the tawfiq, the mindset to help you. And we heard the story at the beginning when that person, when he saw the ill omens and he saw them things happening. And when he went to that place where he was resting and there was a knock at the door. Where did that person come from? That person was someone that had a problem with him, that had a dispute with him. But in his mind, he was given the mindset that even though I have a disagreement with you, even though I have a dispute with you, I should still help you when you're in this state. Where did that mindset come from? Where did that mind, that thought come that I need to help this person? From Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this thought that came to him, came from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And as a result of that, what did he do? He went there, he sent somebody there and said, look, if you want to stay here for 2 months, stay here for 2 months. Otherwise, I give you these 30 dinars and do as you please. Where did that come from? It all came from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this views of the channel is where we need to take this mindset away. That might take the mindset away from ill omens and develop this mindset that whatever comes to us, it comes to us through Allah Azza wa Jalla. Not just in that example. You know, for example, you've got the example there where people have brought food for him. Or in the case of the person at the beginning that, you know, he traveled and he saw these ill omens and something delivered to him. If you achieve any success in life, think to yourself, this is from Allah Azza wa Jalla. You just got your degree. Where did that come from? From Allah Azza wa Jalla. You've just been successful in your business. Where did that come from? From Allah Azza wa Jalla. You've got a bank balance. You've got a lot of money. Yeah, you're quite wealthy. Where did it come from? From Allah Azza wa Jalla. Then you may think to yourself, well, you know what? I studied hard for that degree. I stayed up days and nights to be able to do it. I worked hard for that money. I did the 12-hour shifts, 16-hour shifts. I worked 6 days a week, 7 days a week. Yes, you did. And yes, you studied hard. But where did that opportunity arise for you to go to university? Are there not people around the world that have the intellect that you have, but do not have the opportunities that you have? And even if you forget about those people around the world, you don't think about those people around the world, the opportunity that you had to go to university, where did that come from? You may say, well, I've got rich parents, isn't it? My rich parents have enabled me to be able to go to university. Okay, where did they get their wealth from? It is all a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then furthermore, where did that intellect come from? Where did that capability come that you were able to complete that course? In the same way that I mentioned that there are loads of people around the world that do not have the opportunity that you have to be able to go to university. Are there not people around the world that do not have the intellect that you have to be able to complete that course? Yes, there are. And they may even be in your own family, your own siblings. You see it, that there'll be four people in a family. One will go to university, the others won't. Two will go to university, the others won't. Because they're just not academically capable of doing it. So again, it is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. In the same way that that success that you've got, that bank balance that you've got, that money that you've got, that property that you've got, that car, that house, whatever you've got. I had so much gold, I had this, I had that. You know, sisters may say, I had more gold than anybody in the town. You know, I had a safe in a bank where I kept my gold and my diamonds. The brothers may say we had the biggest car. We had all these things. On the day of judgment, what benefit is that going to be to you? What did you do with that wealth that Allah Azza wa Jalla gave you? Did you spend any of it in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Viewers and we're going to take a small break now, inshallah Azza wa Jalla. And when we come back, I'm hoping that we'll have a guest by then and we'll continue with the topic of the day. Let's go and listen to a kalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
But پلا جام ایسا پلا یا الہی مولا پلا جام ایسا پلا یا الہی نہ پاؤں اپنا پتا یا الہی اور تو اپنی ولایت کی خیرات دے دے تو اپنی ولایت کی خیرات دے دے میرے غوث کا واسطہ میرے غوث کا واسطہ یا الہی نہ پاؤں میں اپنا پتا یا الہی میرا عمل بس تیرے یا الہی مولا کر اخلاص ایسا عطا یا الہی نہ پاؤں میں اپنا پتا یا الہی اور مسلمان اپنا پتا یا الہی
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching the morning show Rise and Shine. And today we're talking about ill omens, bad omens, and how they can make and affect our life. And we've been told so far that if we see an ill omen, then we should not follow it. At the time of an earthquake, the one who falls on the floor whilst running will become mute. Wrinkles appear on the face if one looks in the mirror at nighttime. Cracking the fingers brings about misfortune. And you see these people that are cracking the fingers. No, it's not a good act to do. At the time of a solar eclipse, a pregnant woman should not cut anything with a knife, as the child given birth to will be born with its hands or feet severed or disfigured. Allah. The clothes of newborns are not rinsed after washing them, as the child will receive pain in the body from this. Some take bad omens from certain numbers. And at the time of the azan of the Maghrib, all lights should be turned on, otherwise calamities will descend. Besides these ill omens that I mentioned, viewers of the channel, various ill omens are found in different societies, communities and families. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, may Allah Azza wa Jalla save the Muslims from the terrible calamity of taking ill omens and give tawfiq to good omens as well. MashaAllah, we've got a guest with us, MashaAllah, all the way from Malawi in East Africa, I believe, MashaAllah, Usman Madani. He's given us time before. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward him that he's given us time again. Usman bhai, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
MashaAllah, mashaAllah. Usman bhai, today, you know, we were talking about the bad omens, and we've been talking about that. And unfortunately, I've not really been able to talk much about some of the events that took place in the month of Safar. And I'm hoping that you can enlighten us this and fill the gap, the void that I have not been able to fill so far by mentioning some of the events that took place and some of the things that we should try and do in the month of Safar and the relevance of the month of Safar in Islam.
The month of Safar is a very important month. Every month of the Islamic calendar holds an importance in its own unique way. The month of Safar, if we can put it in short, is the month of Awliya Allah. It's the month in which many Islamic events have taken place. There are so many urs of so many Awliya Allah. I heard when you were speaking about the bad omens, that what people have in their mindsets. But at the very same time, if they come to know what happened in Safar al-Musaffar, which events took place in Safar al-Musaffar, so they will automatically understand that this is the reality and what we had been hearing was nothing but superstition. The month of Safar is that month in the second year after Hijrah, the wedding of Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Khatun al-Jannat Sayyidatuna Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha took place. Now there are people who will say that Safar mein shadi bhi mat karo, Muharram mein bhi shadi mat karo, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. Khatun al-Jannat got married in the month of Safar al-Muzaffar. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu got married in Safar al-Muzaffar. The Muslims achieved victory at Khaybar. The Waqiyah Khaybar we hear associated with Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu that took place in the month of Safar. The sword of Allah, Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid, Sayyidina Amr bin As, and Sayyidina Usman bin Talha radiyallahu ta'ala anhu accepted Islam in the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and this was also in the month of Safar al-Muzaffar. Badain, in which the place of the palace of Kisra, you know, we hear when we listen to the waqiyat of the birth of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Kisra, Kisra. So Kisra was conquered in the month of Safar al-Muzaffar. During the Khilafat of Amir al-Mu'minin Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, which is in the 16th year of Hijrah, Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu offered Jum'ah Salah in the palace of Kisra, and that was the first Jum'ah which was offered in Iraq. Again, month of Safar al-Muzaffar. The Muslims were saved from the false claimant of prophethood, Aswad Ansi Kazab, that liar who claimed to be a prophet. And this was again in the month of Safar al-Muzaffar. So the month of Safar holds many qualities, many attributes, but unfortunately, Islam is such a pure, such a park, such a balanced and such a beautiful religion, which is there to eliminate and remove all these ideologies of superstition. And we should all remember that. Otherwise, we can see where the world is going. If someone enters and something wrong happens, okay, that person came, that's why it has happened. You know, at times, before blaming these things on anyone, we should put ourselves in that person's place. That what if I entered and anything like that happened and people spoke like this about me, ke ye manhoos hai, astaghfirullah, or this person is the reason why this has happened. So how would we feel? So this is how we should think about others. You know, in flights, in hotels, in many other lodges, sometimes you will see they don't have the number 9 or they don't have the number 13. What? That's all superstition. That's not the Islamic culture.
I just remember, near here, there's a street and it has the even numbers are on one side and the odd numbers are on the other side. 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, 11A, 15. They don't have the number 13. They replaced it with 11A.
Allah. So alhamdulillah, Islam is a religion which removes these mindsets. Islam has answers for each and everything. And Islam is a very logical religion. It has wisdom behind each and everything. So let's stick to the basics of Islam. Khalid bhai, you know, some of the things we can think about, for example, you know, jumping over someone while he's sleeping will make you remain short, or when the a spoon touches another spoon or the pot, it may bring fights in the house, or using a scissors without any purpose might create fights in the house. So these things, if you think about the background, and you know, there is one more thing famous, I don't know if you've heard about it, that if you drop salt, so on the day of Qiyamah, you'll have to pick it with your eyelashes. This is also famous. So where did these things come from? So I was just thinking, perhaps, maybe, the reason would be that, you know, in the olden days, maybe a child is playing with the in the kitchen, unnecessarily making noise, say, nahi karo, ghar mein jhagda ho jayega. And that narration carried on from there. You know, sometimes parents say something just to save them from that. So it is a lesson for the parents as well, that be careful on what you say or what you advise to your children.
It's like a snowball, isn't it, Osman? By that, a small story develops and develops, becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, and it becomes accepted as the truth, even though it has no basis of truth.
It becomes a tradition. And if you tell them that, you know, this is wrong, so my grandfather was lying to me, they won't accept it. So this is something we need to accept. And as parents as well, when we are advising, we need to be very careful.
The other thing, this weekend, I was talking with some youngsters and I was giving them Nikki Kidawat. I was calling them to Path of Righteousness. I was talking about Islam and we started talking about the past, about the pious predecessors. We're talking about Allah Hazrat. We're talking about the history of Islam. We talked about the people of the past and the events that took place in the past. And they were looking at me and they said, brother, we've never been taught this. Nobody's ever taught us this. We don't know anything about this. And I said, isn't it sad that you'll know about history that you learn in school, about the world wars or what happened around the world, but you do not know about your own rich heritage? And again, it's something that I personally feel a lot about, that our youngsters, myself included, to be honest, we do not know about our rich heritage. Them events that you mentioned that took place during the month of Safar, if we were to look each and every one of them in detail, people will not know about them. People will probably not know half of the names of the people that you mentioned. People will not know the events that took place. They will not know the places that you mentioned. And that is, again, a reflection of our state, Osman, by that we don't have that knowledge of our rich heritage. And because of that, you see a lot of the Muslim youth disillusioned, that they feel inadequate. They feel inferior, that they haven't got anything. But they have so much rich heritage, so much rich knowledge, so much pious predecessors of the past, so much role models to look up to, if only they were to acquire that knowledge.
Definitely. You know, it's like how the internet is so widespread nowadays, and the youngsters especially, they are glued to their phones. So it is said, just for our understanding, that once the internet was completely down in the whole of the country, and there was one youngster, he thought, now what should I do? So he went out in the lounge. He saw a man and he said that, who are you? You look like my father. So the mother and said that, who are you? You look like my mother. So they said that, we are your parents. I am your mother. I'm not your father. I don't look like your father. I am really your father. So it's because that day only he took out some time off from the internet to pay attention to his own family. So we are like that. We are paying so much of attention to our neighbors and outside world, rather than looking into our own homes, into our own traditions, into our own history. So let's pause a little bit. Let's break a little bit. Let's learn our history. Let's learn our traditions. Let's see our house first, rather than going out in the neighbors and the other streets. So that's very important.
JazakAllah for giving your time. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
You've been watching Rise and Shine, and before we know it, the end of the program has come, and I hope that we've learned something a little bit today, and I hope that these ill omens, we refrain from them, and like Usman Bhai, give a beautiful example that rather than finding out what's happening down the street and what's happening, they find out what's happening in your own household. Learn about your own rich heritage. Learn about the history of Islam. Learn about the pious predecessors of the past. Learn from their life how we can make a change in our lives as well. Viewers of Madani Channel, you've been watching Rise and Shine. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.